AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by Beko.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. President Biden says he's running for president again.
It's time to finish the job. Finish the job.
He spoke to trade workers in Washington today after releasing a video message announcing the bid. But CBS's Jennifer DePinto reports some voters are concerned.
There are 45% of Democrats who don't want Biden to run, and his age is a top reason. 86% said that. It's not because they think Biden would lose. They simply say it's time for someone new.
Former President Trump, who's running against Mr. Biden again, is already trashing the campaign, saying he plans to make America great again. But Trump's got his own issues. Today, author E. Jean Carroll took her rape accusations against him to trial. CBS's Michael George.
Carroll is one of more than a dozen women who have accused Trump of sexual assault or harassment. He denies all the allegations.
Lawyers say Mr. Trump most likely will not testify. A governor takes aim at gun violence. Here's CBS's Matt Piper.
A great day for the state of Washington.
Washington Governor Jay Inslee has signed several bills aimed at gun violence. One bans sales of many types of semi-automatic weapons. Another allows victims' families to sue gun manufacturers or sellers.
It is a victory against impetuous gun violence for people who could buy a gun and then create violence without a second thought.
CBS News has now confirmed the ISIS leader responsible for the attack at Kabul Airport in Afghanistan that took the lives of 13 U.S. service members has been killed by the Taliban. The White House says it won't release his name, but described him as the mastermind of the assault during evacuations in 2021. The U.S. is now hoping a ceasefire in Sudan can be extended to get more Americans out. State Department spokesman Vedant Patel.
We are coordinating with regional and international partners and Sudanese civilian stakeholders to assist in creation of a committee to oversee the negotiation, conclusion, and implementation of a permanent cessation of hostilities.
For now, that ceasefire is expected to hold another 2 days, but fighting in some areas is still going.
Shake, 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 Sinora, shake your body liner.
Harry Belafonte's publicist confirms that he died this morning at 96. Belafonte was a singer and actor for decades before slowing down and focusing on activism and humanitarian work. For the first time ever, Mattel is debuting a Barbie with Down syndrome. It's partnered with the National Down Syndrome Society to get the doll just right, from Barbie's appearance down to her clothing and her accessories. Thousands of babies are born with Down syndrome every year, and Mattel says it wanted more children to see themselves when they play. This is CBS News.
Clean dishes, clean planet. Save $200 in gift card rebates on eligible Beko dishwashers. Visit Beko.com/US-EN for
the Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Senator Tammy Baldwin is asking the Army about the controlled burn of Fort McCoy that may have sparked a 3,000-acre wildfire. Military leaders say they don't know for sure yet if they're to blame. The Biden administration is siding with the Lac des Flambeaux tribe in a lawsuit over road closures on its reservation. The tribe says it's owed millions of dollars for the roads that connect several homes to town. In sports, Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst is asking for patience as he puts the finishing touches on the Aaron Rodgers trade to the New York Jets.
It's not done, and I'm trained by Ted Thompson until the final, T's are crossed and I's are dotted.
The two teams are swapping first-round picks and making other conditional moves. Also, the Bucks face playoff elimination after last night's loss to Miami. The Brewers fell to Detroit. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Accidents can be life-changing, no matter how careful you are. But with Gingras Thompson and Wachs, you're not alone. For decades, they've been fighting for the rights of people just like you. They'll let you focus on your recovery while they handle the legal complexities. If you or a loved one has been hurt or killed due to someone else's negligence, contact them now. You may deserve compensation.
All in to win, Jim Grass, Thompson, and Fox, GTWLawyers.com.
Are you an experienced industrial painter, drywall finisher, or want to be? Do you want more than a job, but a high-paying career where your interests are well-represented, ensuring a safe work environment? The International Union of Painters and Allied Trades of District Council 7 wants you. Bring your knowledge or ask about paid training. Learn more now. Call Tom Coyne, 262-488-4839, 262-488-4839, or go to the union's website, iupatdc7.com.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Buju relatives, I believe that we have a great show lined up tonight. This is Zoe Allen. So tonight we'll be hearing from our relative Rachel Thunder, and we have a great show lined up. Wendy will also be sharing some of her animal advocacy work at the end of the show. But for right now, I'm going to welcome Rachel to the stream. Rachel, hey, Buju, how are you?
Dante, get a Naskamotan and Naskamotan upseas and the Hiawak upseas, Rachel Thunder. I'm good. I'm doing good. It's good to see everybody. Hi, Robert. Hey, Wendy. And hi, Zoe. I don't think we've met in person.
It's been a while. Okay. It's been a while, yeah. You haven't been on the show, or at least I haven't seen you since you last updated us on happening at Roof Depot Station. And so we're really excited to get any of those updates from you tonight. I guess we could just get right into it. I know there's been some recent things that have been happening, and I feel like you'd probably be a lot better about explaining them than I am, as this kind of a complicated issue now. Maybe if you want to just give our listeners a little bit of updates about what's been happening at the Roof Depot Station, and maybe just for our listeners too, just let them know what the situation is overall, since it's been a while since we've talked about it.
So I'll give a little bit of background history first. So when you hear about the Roof Depot, which it's been kind of in the news and local media here in Minneapolis and in the Twin Cities, and there's been a lot of social media activity kind of across the nation about it, but a lot of people don't know like the full story because it's a long story. And so I just got involved over the past 6 months of this work, but really, this is a fight or a resistance that's been going on for nearly a decade. And so I'm relatively new to it. But over this period of time, the community here in South Minneapolis, specifically in the East Phillips neighborhood, led by Indigenous people, because the Little Earth United Tribes housing is only two blocks away from the Roof Depot site here in South Minneapolis. So this site is called the Roof Depot, but it has like a long, toxic relationship with the community here. So way back in the day, it used to be a pesticide plant. And this pesticide plant dumped arsenic and contaminated the soil and the water table. So, I mean, like, even back in the 90s, the city came in and removed 50,000 tons of topsoil from yards just in the East Phillips neighborhood, just from arsenic that had been dumped from the site. And so it's actually, the site is part of something called the Arsenic Triangle and was designated a Superfund site here in South Minneapolis. And then Sears came and built this giant warehouse on top of this site, and all the piping's above ground. They put like this giant slab of concrete to kind of like encapsulate the arsenic underneath the warehouse. And for the past decade, community has been approaching the city of Minneapolis with a plan for an initiative that is community driven and community dreamed. For that warehouse to be purchased and owned by community, for there to be a large indoor urban garden to help ease some of the discrepancies. You know, this is a food desert here. It's really, really hard to get affordable fresh produce and healthy food. To have a, I think it would be the largest solar array in the city of Minneapolis, maybe outside of the airport, on top of the entire warehouse roof. And the entire site is about 7.5 acres. There would be affordable housing, AMI housing in this community-driven plan, small businesses, farmers markets, training centers, you know, office spaces for orgs, you know, all of these things. And so there's been this long battle with the city over the past decade because the city wants to expand their public works water yard. And they want to demolish the warehouse, which is encapsulating the arsenic. So then all the arsenic would be released in this arsenic plume into South Minneapolis. And then they want to turn the whole thing into like a giant parking lot for 888 diesel vehicles. When East Phillips already has the second highest rates of asthma in the entire state of Minnesota.
Wow.
So, yeah. So over the years, the city has gone back and forth on willingness to sell the site to community. And just a year ago, the city of Minneapolis City Council voted to actually give community the site. And the mayor, Mayor Frey, vetoed it and stopped that. So it's been, and so they'll say they're willing to sell, and then they like raise the price and make it unobtainable to community, and then it's we're not willing to sell, and then we're willing to sell, but the price is raised again, or city council says you can have it, but the mayor stops it. So it's just like this really intricate, fluid relationship and fight that has been going on for nearly a decade. And so several months ago, actually on February the 27th, the city of Minneapolis was set and poised to begin demolition of the warehouse. And, you know, as community, we knew that, and as an indigenous people, that we cannot allow this pollution to happen, not only to our people, but to the earth. You know, these environmental justice issues are not just in rural areas. These things happen in urban areas too. So we as community decided to do what we needed to do, and we held, we occupied the site to bring awareness, to bring attention. You know, we did all of this through prayer, through ceremony. We put up a teepee, had our spirit fire, had a sunrise ceremony to begin the occupation. Our, you know, filled pipes, and, you know, did it in a good way. There were no drugs, no alcohol, no fighting, you know, nothing ugly or negative. It was really beautiful actually to see how community came together. And the mayor of Minneapolis ended up ordering MPD, the Minneapolis Police Department, to raid the camp that we had there. There were over 99 police officers deployed to arrest 8 of us that were there when it happened. Late at night.
Most of the MPD now, right? Like, they don't have that many officers anymore. So that's pretty much the whole thing. Oh, we have about a minute left.
Okay, so that pretty much brings us up to date. So there's been, with the occupation, there's been a lot of rallies and protests and caravans to city council, and it's brought a lot of momentum to this cause. So after the break, I can kind of bring you more to what's going on currently.
Wonderful. Chimi Glitch, for all the work you do. And yes, let's definitely get into more of those updates at the break. And just for our listeners that are tuning in, this is Native Roots Radio. I'm Zoe Allen. Robert should be joining us soon. And we're just here with our relative, Rachel Thunder, who's doing really incredible work trying to get the Roof Depot Station to not be demolished and to instead be turned into a community farm. So more after the break. Stay with us.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
They'll challenge your authority because that's what kids do. But this car is your territory. And in here, your word is law. So when you say you won't move until everyone's buckled up, you won't budge an inch until you hear that click. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. For more information, visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup.
Consumer Reports published their 2023 Best Vehicles Report, and Toyotas from Rudy Luther Toyota dominate the list again. The Corolla Hybrid, the Corolla Cross, and the Camry all top their Best Value New Cars categories. The Camry Hybrid, the Highlander Hybrid, the Corolla Hybrid, and RAV4 Prime all ranked as best green choices, and my personal favorite, the Toyota Sienna, also ranked in the top of its class. Toyotas are not only gorgeous, they're best buys. Test drive one today by going to Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of Minneapolis on 394.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
All right. We got the problem fixed, ooh, I hope. Rachel and Zoe, I feel like you guys should just keep on going here. It's been beautiful, and I've been just pulling out my hair trying to get on. Zoe, great job. And go ahead, Rachel. Totally cool. Appreciate everything you were saying. East Phillips and the background of this, and there's something called structural racism that you've been dealing with that I've never heard that term before, and that's amazing what you guys have been doing over there in East Phillips, and I just want to commend you and say Pini Gigi for all you're doing. And Rachel, or Zoe, why don't you jump in, and I can jump in once I get in the flow here.
Yeah, let's give you a minute, catch your bearings. So before the break, we were talking, Rachel Thunder and I were talking, well, she was getting us up all to speed on exactly what's been going on over at the Roof Depot station, which has been a lot. One of the things she was talking about was the MPD being deployed at a peaceful occupation. And, you know, Rachel, you talked about it before on the show, but you were also one of the people that was arrested, or at least, were you fully arrested? And I know this is getting into the thick of things, but we are also going to talk about some exciting updates you had to share, too.
Well, that's a really good point. Yeah. Before you jump on, Rachel, we went live when you were getting arrested, and you weren't arrested, but you were taking on a trip all across the city. And that's the ploy of police departments now. I don't know if you can tell our audience a little bit about that, but they didn't arrest you, but they took you on a long, long trip all night.
Yeah. So I'll talk a little bit about that, but I want to kind of stay on topic with the main issue. So, there were eight of us that were arrested that night. I was one of them. Some individuals they took downtown to the station. And some of us, they kind of just shuffled us around different police cruisers and booked us in a booking van. And then they said that they weren't going to take us downtown because it was going to be bad for optics. And so we were trying to get them to drop us off in different places in community here in South Minneapolis, but they didn't want to do that because they knew we were going to go right back. So they ended up taking us to the Homeward Bound shelter that's owned by AICDC, and that's where they ended up dropping us off at. But I did want to say that, like I said earlier, that I've only been involved with the Roof Depot resistance for the past 6 months, but there's been a lot of people that have put a lot of work into this over the years. You know, Cassie Holmes comes to mind, and, you know, the East Phillips Neighborhood Institute, Joe Vitale, you know, and this resistance for the depot has been Native-led, Indigenous-led. And, you know, especially here over the past several months, you know, running on that land back campaign, you know, the thought and the theory and the process of taking ancestral Indigenous stolen land and putting it back into the hands of Indigenous people. And that's really what our goal is with this 7.5-acre site. The initiative, the Indoor Urban Farm Initiative, and all of those positive things and community center that I was talking about earlier would be Indigenous-led, Native-led, but for everybody. There's space there and intent from all of the communities of East Phillips and South Minneapolis to be involved in this site and for to have input from all of these communities. You know, East Phillips is one of the most diverse neighborhoods in Minneapolis. You know, you have the natives, the Indigenous population, Hispanic population, East African, Black, you know, white, all of these races here, all these cultures here in East Phillips. And this place is really going to be a place where all of these communities can come and work together for the betterment of the entire community here. That's the goal. But I did want to talk about, like, you know, what's been going on more recently. So after the occupation, after the caravan, after city council, after people are arrested, you know, charges, court hearings, all of these things, we did win a court injunction to temporarily halt demolition. That injunction was extended to mid-May, which was our goal because it bought us time to take this to the state level. And that's really where this fight has been now. So we have two bills, and I have them written down. We have our bill in the House of Representatives, and that's Bill 2093. And then the bill in the Minnesota State sentence, which is Bill SF-1853. So both of those bills we're pushing through. You know, we had our first House committee hearing where the vote passed for our bill to move on. We had our Senate committee hearing. And this bill, what it is it's $20 million to fund the purchase of the Roof Depot site in its entirety, so the entire 7.5 acres, and funding for the implementation of the Indoor Urban Farm Initiative. And we had a moment where we were like, oh no, what's going to happen? Because we were kind of at this like moment of what comes first, the chicken or the egg, because the city was saying to legislation, we're not selling the site. And so then we're saying, give us the money to pressure the city to sell the site. And then legislation saying, why would we give the $20 million if the city's not even willing to sell the site? So we had this pivotal moment last week where members of community, members of the East Phillips Neighborhood Institute, City Council Member Jason Chavez, other people from the city, and our Minneapolis delegates from the legislation all sat down in a meeting with the intention of, you know, coming to some sort of understanding, which our goal was getting the city to say they are willing to sell the full 7.5 acre site, which ultimately at the end of that meeting, that's exactly what happened, which is what legislation needed to hear to be able to move forward with our bill. And so, you know, I know, Robert, you were writing me earlier about what kind of action steps people could do. So right now we're in this crunch time, right, at the legislation where this session is getting ready to come to an end here in the next 2 weeks. And this is really like a make or break moment for our bill. The Minneapolis delegation is very supportive. But we do need a little bit of help pressuring some of the reps, and I can give you their names so that you have them. So that would be Majority Leader Jamie Long. Representative Emma Greenman. And Representative Sydney Jordan. And Representative Fu Lee. So it's not that they're not supportive, right? But the way that they're positioned right now in negotiations, we just really want their constituents to make it very clear to them that they're in support of this, and this is what they want their representative to support and move forward with. You know, this year, at the state level, and you know this, Robert, there's a surplus of funding. You know, the money is there, and these legislators can find money and allocate money how they see best fit. Like, the city is asking for $200 million for the stadium. We're asking for $20 million for a project that would exponentially benefit this community directly, led by community in perpetuity.
Wow. I feel like Rachel and Wendy and Zoe, I feel like they should give you that land. I don't know why we're selling it back to ourselves. That's just idiotic to me. And
I can cover that a little bit after the break. I can share a little bit more about that.
Well, Rachel just said
that's great. Also, Rachel, I'd like you to repeat the House file and the Senate file numbers. I didn't get to write those down. Yeah, that's great. So whoever's listening out there, if any of those people that Rachel mentioned is your representative or senator, please get in touch with them and tell them that this Phillips neighborhood project is important to you. Well, we need to get this through.
Even if they're not, blow up their phones.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
Yes. Hey, we'll be right back. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Jane is
Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
CBS News Brief. There's mixed reaction to President Biden's big reelection announcement today. CBS's Jennifer DePinto.
There isn't a lot of excitement about a Biden reelection bid right now. Moore said they would feel more acceptance rather than excitement about him running again.
Mr. Biden is 80 years old, and if he wins, he'd be the oldest man to serve as president. The U.S. is monitoring the situation in Sudan closely as thousands of people scrambled to get out during a 72-hour ceasefire. State Department spokesman Vedant Patel.
It's our hope that this ceasefire not just be durable, but it be adhered to and that it be extended.
The three-day truce between generals there was partly brokered by the U.S.
Shake, 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 Sinora, shake your body liner.
Singer, actor, and activist Harry Belafonte died today at 96. He spent decades topping the charts and blazing trails for civil rights. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matinair. Here's what you need to know. A number of bills up for a vote in the Wisconsin Assembly today would mean Wisconsinites would get fewer unemployment benefits and face stricter qualification requirements. This comes after three-quarters of state voters approved a non-binding ballot question saying they believe able-bodied adults should have to look for work to get government assistance. That happened during the spring election. Currently, people who get unemployment in Wisconsin are already required to look for work four times a week. Kia and Hyundai owners in Racine beware of a growing number of car thefts. That's according to the Racine Police Department, which put out an advisory for those car owners. They say there's been a big uptick in thefts, particularly for the Kia Forte, Soul, and Sorenta, as well as the Hyundai Elantra, Sinatra, and Accent. Those owners should consider an anti-theft device like the club or parking somewhere that has surveillance. I'm Jane Matinair. This is Civic Media News.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
We're all looking for how our state can move forward despite division. Here's something that often gets bipartisan support, and with your help, we'll make Wisconsin more fair and secure. It's fixing the holes in our legal system so laws and justice truly apply to everyone. Did you know that in many cases, you have no right to an attorney? A person experiencing domestic violence or someone denied rightful health care coverage for an expensive procedure or a victim of elder abuse, how can they get the protections they're entitled to if they can't afford a lawyer? What they need is civil legal aid. It's powerful legal assistance. It helps people regain control of their lives, and it sometimes gets bipartisan support. But your state legislators need to hear from you right now as they work on the state budget. Google the legislature's homepage, go there, and enter your address under Who Are My Legislators, and call or email them now. Ask them to fund civil legal aid in the Wisconsin budget.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
In tradition.
Hey, we're here with Rachel Thunder, and I'd like to call her activist, but also you're much more than that. And we just had Uncle Leonard Peltier introduce this segment, and I know he is someone that's on your mind constantly, and especially after the walk across half the country for him and his release. Welcome back, Rachel.
Thank you, Robert. Yeah, I was actually sitting here thinking about him, and then you played that clip, and I've been wearing my Free Peltier earrings a lot, but you know, Leonard sits heavy with me, you know, all the time. And there are a couple of new developments. You know, everybody that has been doing this work for Leonard is continuing on. You know, Kevin Sharp is still his lawyer mm-hmm. for the clemency petition. But there's also a new lawyer that has been added to his legal team. Her name is Jennifer. I have not had the chance to speak with her yet. I do have a call coming up with her soon, though. And she is a civil rights attorney, and she's specifically working to get him transferred to a medium instead of where he is currently at USP 1 Coleman in Florida. So, yeah, Leonard is always on my mind.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah. So thank you. Thanks, Robert.
Yeah, the station played that bumper, so we play it once every couple days. We had the opportunity to talk to Leonard and interview him quite a few months ago now, and he was nice enough to put that little bug in there so we can keep him in the forefront. And at the end of the show, Wendy always says, "Free Leonard Peltier," and I've been throwing in at the end now. So we appreciate your work and keeping his name alive, I guess is the way to put it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about this roof depot and a little, again, we were ending the segment and I'm just curious. It's always, government is always bizarre to me when, you know, they're charging themselves money and we're in a land back situation here, and the state's worried about what the city wants to pay, and all these gray lines that don't need to be there. I don't know, Rachel.
Yeah. So in the last segment, I mentioned that we had a meeting last week with the Minneapolis delegation and the city to come to some kind of understanding, and the city. Came into that meeting with what they called a compromise for them to give us 3 acres of the 7.5, but for them to still do the demolition, which would release the arsenic, and for them to still do their Hiawatha expansion project, which would still bring in all of the diesel trucks. And you know, our legislators, our delegates, you know, kudos to them. They turned to us and they said, what do you all want? And we don't want the 3 acres. We want it all. We want the full 7.5. And that was what really pushed the city to say, okay, yeah, we're willing to sell the full 7.5 acres. And, I'm sure, you know, there's the Star Tribune article that came out over the weekend where the city's quoted saying that their asking price for the site is $16.7 million.
Yeah.
And, you know, that number is high, number one. there is our legislators are having an independent audit done on that number to really take out things that shouldn't be included in that. So a couple of things that are included in that we feel are not going to be factored into the final price. So inflation being one. The other is they're, you know, putting in the cost of their architectural plans for their Hiawatha expansion project. They're putting in the price of the contract that they signed with Rachel Contracting and Rachel Demolition to demolish and build the Hiawatha expansion project. They're putting in, you know, the cost of like maintaining the facility and all of these things over the years when they had the chance to sell it to community years ago. And, you know, so it's not our fault that they decided to hang on to it. It's, you know, that's them. They took that risk in deciding to not sell it. So we're confident that that number is going to be marked down. And the way that I look at it, Robert, because at first I was like, you know, we need it. They just should give it to us, right? Because that's the gut reaction. But, you know, this, unfortunately, in this society that we're existing in, when it comes to truly getting land back, sometimes we have to work in the system the way that it's set up. Right. Mm-hmm. And if we're to say, OK, we're not taking it unless you give it to us. And then the city says, well, we're not going to do that. Right. We lose the court hearing. We lose the injunction and they demolish the warehouse and community has nothing besides right. pollution and arsenic poisoning. So to me, paying the money, if that's what it takes to secure this site, to secure the health of community and future generations in this neighborhood, to ensure that future toxic harm doesn't happen to the earth here, mm-hmm. that this environmental racism and injustice doesn't continue, and that if we put this money down and it stops it, and it brings economic growth and affordable housing and healthy, affordable food to community, you can't, that's priceless. You can't put a price on that. And we're in a situation where our legislation, our Minneapolis delegates are willing to help us get that money to ensure that future for our community mm-hmm. and the earth. And so land back can happen in different ways. It doesn't have to be land given back for free.
Right.
You know, there's avenues to it. And to me, I would much rather pay the money than stand here with my fist in the air and say, you know, it's all or nothing, and then we get nothing. You know, mm-hmm. I would rather pay the bill.
So reasonable. Yeah, definitely. And is there a deadline to this? You know, not so much the Senate. I know they're ending session in, what, beginning of June or end of May. But is the city giving you any kind of deadline?
No, the city hasn't given us a deadline. But like I said earlier, this is the crunch time for our bill. In the House with the reps. So here in the next 2 to 3 weeks, you know, that'll be a done deal. And once we have money in hand, you know, we're going to move forward with acquisition of the site.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I was reading in that Star Tribune article, too, that there would be indoor gardening. And that sounds really exciting. You know, what is mm-hmm. that called with the water running constantly?
Mm-hmm. The aquaculture.
Yes, yes.
So it would be an in-case indoor system where the plants are fertilized from fish in yep. large tanks. So I think the plant is supposed to be walleye. And then so the fish fertilize the plants and it's this encased, enclosed all year round fresh mm-hmm. produce 2 blocks away from Little Earth.
Wow.
And, you know, not only are we talking about food here, we're talking about jobs, you know, mm-hmm. job security, green jobs, you know, a mass solar array that's going to need to be maintained. We're talking about housing, jobs, taking care of the housing, you know, small businesses, farmers markets, all of these things. Mm-hmm. So it really helps to bridge that income gap that's so prevalent in our communities right now.
Right. Wow. This is coming together very nicely, and we just have to put some tobacco out so it comes out in a good way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm kind of wondering, Rachel, what you said before, that they only wanted to give you 3 acres of the whole
for free.
7.5, and I'm wondering what they thought you were going to do with that 3 acres. I mean, you know,
yeah, I don't, that was their compromise. That was, and they were like, you can have the 3 acres that you occupied. I'm like, no, no, but no, Robert, you're absolutely right. Like, this is the time for prayers for tobacco down, for pressure on our legislation, and some really strong testimonies. Like the testimony I saw that you gave about the wolves, I liked that. You handled that well.
Behind every awesome dude is an astonished woman. So Wendy helps me with that speech.
Nice. I didn't help you with your comebacks, though. I didn't. So just remind everybody, if anybody out there has these people as your House representative, mm-hmm. Jamie Long, Emma Greenman, Sydney Jordan, and Sue Lee. Is that correct?
Fooley, he's the chair of the Capital Investment Committee.
Okay, yeah. So mm-hmm. get in touch with those people, those folks, and
And then those bill numbers, the one in mm-hmm. the House, that's HF 2093, and in the Minnesota State Senate, that's SF 1853.
Okay. Wow. Thank you. Yeah, it's important stuff, really.
Wow,
yeah.
Rachel.
And even if those representatives aren't your reps, mm-hmm. you can still call. You can still call. You can still email. You know, if you type their name into Google, the first thing that's going to pop up is their office number. You know, and their staff listen to voicemails. You know, they read emails, and you know, having like three or four people call in a day, that's big. They take that, mm-hmm. they take it seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talk about that a lot, Rachel, because Wendy, with her animal activism and all the stuff that's going on at the Capitol and nationally too, Free Leonard Peltier, phone calls and letters really, really help. So, Rachel, I wanted to say, Peeny Geegee, thank you so much for coming on tonight. Go ahead.
That's bill HF 2093, not 293. I just saw on the screen. Sorry.
Okay, no problem. We'll get that up and fixed. Appreciate it, Rachel. Great show. Thank you so much for giving us this great update. Really. Any last, you got 30 seconds, Wendy says, to give a last shout out here.
I'll say thank you. Hi. Free Leonard Peltier, land back. And, you know, many blessings to everybody.
Right on, PD. Hey, we'll be right back with our sacred animal portion.
Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
No matter if you're eating out or cooking something at home, EatLocalMinnesota.com has you covered with a list of locally owned restaurants and food purveyors. Many restaurants offer carryout and delivery, while food purveyors can help you make your next meal delicious. Latunji's Palette is a social enterprise built with purpose and fortified with love. Indulge in the world's best peach cobbler, gourmet desserts, vegan and gluten-free options, sandwiches, and coffee drinks. Located at 1400 Park Avenue South in Minneapolis. Plus, find Latunji's gourmet desserts at Lunds and Byerly's at the North Market, Minneapolis Farmers Market Annex, and Bobby and Steve's. More at latunjispalette.com. Explore the award-winning, spirited Midwestern flavors at 30 Bales in Hopkins. Priding themselves as a scratch kitchen using the cleanest, most local ingredients they can source, join 30 Bales for lunch, dinner, or their scrumptious weekend brunch. Conveniently located at 1106 Main Street in Hopkins with plenty of free parking. See their menu at 30bales.com.
Hi, I'm Kelly Tanky.
And I'm Joe Kirk.
Tune in to AM 950's newest show, Searching for Service, a show designed to help current and future Rotarians find purpose through service.
We are dedicated to sharing stories, experiences, and opportunities for those searching for purpose, value, and meaning.
But more importantly, connection through community. Tune in Sundays at 3 p.m. or anytime via podcasts.
It's time to stop searching and start serving.
Nightingale is your cozy, comfortable restaurant in the Whittier neighborhood at 26th and Lindale. Nightingale has patio, dining room, and bar seating available. Plus, they still have takeout and delivery. Their menu has lots of delicious options like the famous Nightingale Burger and Fries, Ginger Tamari Chicken Wings, Smoked Chicken Liver Pate, and more. They're open from 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. daily with their full menu until midnight. So make the friendly neighborhood Nightingale your go-to restaurant in South Minneapolis. Place an order, make a reservation, and more at nightingalempls.com.
Hey, Minnesota, stay tuned for the broadcast coming up next right here on AM 950, KTNF, St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, St. Paul, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hey, Wendy, I don't know if we're
don't know
on
what's
or
happening.
What.
We're going to be on here.
Zoe, can you hear us?
No, Zoe, Zoe can't hear us. All right, so let's just do it, and we'll just do it. What are you going to do? Right?
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. This is the sacred animal section portion of the show. This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl.
That's a very low little howl there, Robert.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so, hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. Robert, we went to the circus this weekend. Now, I have not been to the circus in many, many, many years. And the reason being is because I am totally against the animal acts that most circuses have. And we went to the Royal Canadian International Circus, and that was at the Mall of America here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I was really, really happy to find out that this particular circus does not use any animals anymore. Now, you might think, hey, tigers, elephants, and bears, those are probably the three most popular animals that the circuses use, but these animals are really treated horribly. But I wanted to read something from the Royal Canadian International Circus. No animal performances at the Royal Canadian International Circus. Fun summer family activities kept ethical. And this is their kind of statement here that they make. If you picture a traditional circus show, one of the first things that come to mind is animal performers. The traditional circus involves acts involving exotic animals such as lions and elephants. These acts might seem like harmless, fun summer family activities on the surface, but things aren't quite that simple. At RCIC, which is the Royal Canadian International Circus, we are well aware that the public opinion on animal acts has shifted. Among other reasons, the RCIC has not used exotic animal performers in our shows in the last 3 years. You may have some questions about how this has changed our show. Can a traditional family circus run without animal performers at all? We believe the answer is yes. Our recent successes and post-show surveys back this up. Our show has garnered so much support that we have been able to expand and even go international. Here are a few things we would like our audience to know about how our show has changed and what fun summer family activities we still offer. Well, we could talk about that, Robert, because we were there. We took our two grandchildren there. And
godchildren.
godchildren. What did I say? Grandchildren. Oh my God, I'm not that grandchildren. Old. See, I see Zoe talking. So is she on the radio too?
No,
or
no,
am I on
no.
the radio? So we took our godchildren there. Thank you for correcting me there, Robert. I'm probably wanting to be a grandmother. That's why I said that. But we love our godchildren. One is 8 and one is 4, and they just loved it. We did have a conversation with both of them, though, before we went in, and they understood that we were going to this particular circus because they didn't have animals, and we kind of explained to them about, you know, the animals aren't treated very nicely and we don't want to watch shows or support that. So they were like really very intrigued by that, and I said, you know what, they say that they don't have any animals, but even if they have dogs or other animals, maybe horses or something else, if the animals do come up, we're going to have to leave. And I want you to feel okay with that. And they said that they would feel okay with that. So I'm really glad that they kind of understood that. But the public opinion really had a big impact on this particular family circus. And that's why they decided to do this. Now, Robert, we have gone year after year to protest circus.
Yeah, Shrine Circus.
The Shrine Circus. One was in Minneapolis, I believe, many, many years ago. But what happened in Minneapolis was that the Humane Society of the United States and other animal activists got together, and we were able to ban bull hooks in Minneapolis. So the bull hook is this big, long, thick stick with a hook on the end of it, and that's what the trainers use to control the elephants. And it's a very intimidating-looking bull hook, it's called. So once we were able to ban that in Minneapolis, they couldn't bring the elephants there because that's what they use to control the elephants. So I'm not really sure whether that circus has been back there or not. I'll have to check that out. But in St. Paul here, the Shriners still bring the Shrine Circus here with animals. And mostly every year, if we're not there, there's other protesters there. We're trying to bring awareness about what happens to these animals.
Yeah.
You know, they're on the train. They get loaded up. They're in very small, confined places. In order to get these animals to perform and to do these specific tricks, I mean, a bear doesn't, you know, wasn't born and learns how to ride a bicycle. I mean, right. That's not just what happens. So the animal is learning how to do this, not through positive reinforcement. That is not how they treat these and teach these animals. These animals are whipped. They're beaten. The food is taken away from them. And that's how they learn to do these tricks. They do it from fear. They know that if they don't perform this trick, they will get beaten. They will not have any food. So everybody out there, if you want to take your kids to a circus, check out the Royal Canadian International Circus. It's there at the Mall of America. We had a great time. They have great entertainers. It's just fantastic. Our godchildren were sitting there with their mouth open most of the time, and it was just a lot of fun. A lot of fun entertainment without the cruelty to animals. So,
great point. Excellent show. Thank you, Rachel. Thank you, Zoe.
Yeah, Zoe, thank you. We had a little snafu here.
But yes. Yeah. Well, everyone's still alive.
Yes.
Hey, if you're listening to this broadcast, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plentycoops, the ground in which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Now.
Accidents can be life-changing, no matter how careful you are. But with Gingras Thompson and Walks, you're not alone. For decades, they've been fighting for the rights of people just like you. They'll let you focus on your recovery while they handle the legal complexities. If you or a loved one has been hurt or killed due to someone else's negligence, contact them now. You may deserve compensation.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson and Walks, GTWLawyers.com.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.